It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Gonna be a good one today, and I'm going to tell you all about it. But yesterday, I'm sure there's probably a few of you that missed it. Me and Michael Dramatowell Jr. did our take on the entire ballot for the upcoming primary, top to bottom. You can find it in its entirety at KMJNow.com. Click, you know, podcasts, my name, yesterday's date. Let it rip from 12 noon on until about 1:30, and it's all there in its dynamic glory. And it's an odd one because there are dozens, hundreds of names that are totally unknown to everybody. So lots of homework for you if you so desire. But we got through it. It's all there. If you missed it or you want to hear it again and pick up on some stuff that you just want to reassure yourself of, KMJNow.com podcast, my name, Monday, date, 12 noon. Have at it. Tuesday. That's today. That means at 1 o'clock, our friend Steve Hilton is going to be checking in from what is now a regular feature with this Fox News commentator, also the host of his own big podcast about California. And it's picking up a lot of steam, that one. He's a very passionate American, a very passionate Californian, but as you know, he was born in England. And he feels very strongly about California being worth saving. And, you know, I'm kind of that persuasion now, too. He feels very strongly about that. And I'm sure Steve will be checking in with my producer between now and 1 o'clock. We'll find out what Steve wants to talk about and what I want to talk about, and we'll do it to it with Steve Hilton today at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow and Thursday, we're going to make multiple trips to Ukraine, okay? Tomorrow, we're going to reconnect with somebody that has become a very dear friend of mine over the years. He's a former Fresnan of sorts. He was a very popular conductor and music director of the Fresno Philharmonic for a number of years, and his name is Ted Kutcher. And his home is in Ukraine. It's in Lviv. That's his primary residence. And his wife lives there. When he's, you know, he travels all over the world conducting the various international orchestras. He's only going to be home in Ukraine for a couple of days, and then he's off to Sweden, then off to Australia to assume his duties. But tomorrow at 11:30, 9:30 Ukrainian time, we're going to get Ted's point of view on this war as he returns home for the first time since the Russians attacked back in February. So this is going to be a good one. Lviv has remained somewhat safe through all of this, but I will let him sort it out tomorrow and enlighten you. So Ted Kutcher from his home in Lviv, Ukraine, tomorrow at 11:30. On Thursday, May the 26th, 3 days short of this man's birthday, our Ukrainian musician friend Serge will be joining us again for his third chat with the West Coast of the United States. He, of course, is in Kyiv, the nation's capital. This is an area that Putin, to his total embarrassment, has not been able to capture. One of the biggest embarrassments of this war, other than that of Kharkiv, the second largest city. This was under Russian control for a while. But the relentlessness of the Ukrainian military, I love this, has pushed the Russians back across the border, back into Russia, out of Kharkiv. And this has got to be a giant black eye for the Kremlin, all right? And we are planning on sending forces to Ukraine. Did you hear this? American military boots on the ground to do what? To protect the recently reopened American embassy in Kyiv. And that's our right to do so. That's international law. We can do that, even in a state of war. And so that's going to be an interesting one to follow. Monkeypox, every day in the news now, and it's beginning to spread like wildfire in two communities, bisexual males and the gay community. Last week when monkeypox was reintroduced to international news, we all thought it was a bit of a joke and we laughed, but it now appears to be extremely serious. And for some time domestically, especially here in California, we've had a problem with shoplifters, right? Well, all of a sudden, as the thieves become more and more brazen, store employees are now beginning to fight back. And they're fighting back very hard. I've got some amazing stories here, all right? Much to the surprise of the individuals who are stealing this stuff. They don't expect anybody to fight back. And now the store employees are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. And they're bringing the wrath of God down on these individuals' heads when they're shoplifting. We've got some examples of what's going on, and I, I will share. They're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. Sound familiar? Coming up at the bottom of this hour, somebody who's he's back here for the third time in the studio, Tom McClintock, congressman extraordinaire on the campaign trail. We'll see what he's up to today, but I want to talk to him about one of his opponents, Nathan Magzig. Nathan is local. He's with the county supervisors, and he's going to be joining us very soon in the near future for his shot at this. Nathan is a good guy. He's very capable of handling, congressional work. He can do it, if indeed he's elected. And I think he's going to give, Tom McClintock a real run for his money. I mean, you see, Tom McClintock is an incumbent, and you think it's kind of a done deal. But I don't know about this with Nathan in there. I mean, very popular. Very popular. And he will be joining us maybe sometime this week, but in the very near future. And I look forward to talking to him. I like him. At noon today, the very angry, and I'm making an issue out of this because nothing really riles him up to the point where he's like spitting fire and blood, but that's the mood of Thomas Del Beccaro today on water and Newsom's water restrictions. Tom is really easygoing about lots of things, but his mood this morning was pretty dark when it comes to water and the actions of our governor. So Tom will be joining us at 12 noon. Tom McClintock a couple of Toms, right? We got Thomas Del Beccaro at noon. We got Thomas McClintock at 11:30. We got Steve Hilton at 1 o'clock. We got you and me in between. We've got Ted Kutcher from Ukraine tomorrow. We've got Serge, whose last name I can never pronounce, from Ukraine in Kyiv, the capital city, on Thursday. This is going to be action-packed, I'm telling you. And I think, do we have tickets to give away today? We do. Our 100th anniversary gig at the Paul Theater at the fairgrounds, October the 11th. Tower of Power, Paul Rodriguez, and the Appletones have been added to the bill. Had to be. Had to be. And I want to thank the glass shop down in Visalia for sponsoring us, the Appletones. They're paying the freight for our appearance at the 100th anniversary, and it's going to be rocking. So it's going to be a little something for everybody there, I suppose. I'm happy to be doing that. I kind of sort of knew we always would, because I work here, and Mark Capitan, who's in the band, he works here now. So it just makes sense, a couple of employees that think they're aging rock and roll stars, turning out for another appearance at the Paul Theater. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. And we've got tickets to give away today on KMJ for that down the road because everybody's asking. And I mean, I'm getting bombed on this like there's no tomorrow. Ray, are you going to give away tickets to Scorpions and Whitesnake? Yeah, we are. I don't know if I will personally because I think this giveaway is going to be when I'm on vacation back in Indianapolis playing with my kids. But, somebody will give them away. All right, so you have a chance to win Whitesnake and Scorpions tickets on KMJ. This is the final tour for Coverdale and Whitesnake. He's retiring. And if you've heard him sing lately, you probably know why. I mean, he doesn't have all the chops that he used to, but still a legend, David Coverdale. I think one of the greatest British frontmen that ever lived. So I'm anxious to see Whitesnake again. And then the Scorps, what can you say? I mean, wow. You talk about a band with longevity. Holy Moses. That's going to be a great show, the Save Mart Center. Yay. Something with my name all over it. So let us move on. Kick off the day. 490-5858, if you want to dive in, play on the telephones with us, 800-776-5858. It's News Talk 580-1059, KMJ, and I'm the man with the hat. Just all of a sudden, I've started wearing hats every day of my life. So unlike me, does that mean I'm like getting old? Older? Anyway. I'm Ray Appleton. Let's go.
Miss the show?
Get Ray Appleton. Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast right now. It's free.
There's always lots to talk about and lots going on in Ukraine. And, different things happening within the context of the war. Sadly, they suffered their worst single military loss. 87 soldiers were killed in barracks. Zelensky revealed this yesterday. This was a single attack by a Russian missile on the barracks. It killed 87 soldiers. The death toll is a dramatic jump from last week when Kyiv confirmed that 8 people died in a May 17th attack targeting the barracks at the training base in Desna in the north. And the disclosure demonstrated Russia's ability to inflict losses even far from the front in the east. They're reaching out now, and they're hitting their targets, unfortunately. Moscow had said at the time that they'd hit a training base with a long-range missile. And the new death toll Zelensky announced yesterday was more than double the number killed in a similar attack on a Ukrainian training base in the west in March. Quote, history's at a turning point. This is really a moment when it's decided whether brute force will rule the world. Zelensky said this in his address calling for more economic sanctions on Russia, which they're finally beginning to do some good. The sanctions should be maximum so that Russia and every other potential aggressor who wants to wage a brutal war against its neighbor clearly knows that the immediate consequences of their actions will be hard. He said this in a Davos meeting, he being Zelensky. In the address, Zelensky demanded an oil embargo, blockage of all Russian banks and termination of all trade. Foreign businesses should withdraw completely from Russia, and the Russian IT industry should be cut off from the West. I totally agree with that. In the latest fighting in Kyiv, and that's where we're going Thursday with our broadcast with Serge, it is said that they're holding off a huge Russian assault there in the eastern part of the city, which has become the main target of Moscow's latest offensive in Kyiv since they seized Mariupol last week. The Russian forces, trying to storm one large city, very unsuccessful, and they've retreated. The city I cannot pronounce, but it apparently is a biggie. It's spelled SIEVIERODONETSK. Try that one. And Moscow's been trying to overrun that city for a while as it tries to encircle the Ukrainian forces to fully capture Luhansk and Donetsk provinces. Well, the Donbass region remains, on the side of the Russians, obviously, because of the separatists there is what I'm trying to say. So with Moscow having captured Mariupol last week after a three-month siege, losing territory everywhere, the war in Ukraine is entering what some Western military analysts describe as a new phase. A major Russian push to capture Donbass before Moscow is expected to shift, to defense. And it's going to get very, very hard for the Ukrainians in the near future. But there seems to be a lot of new international military aid coming to Ukraine. The Pentagon announced also yesterday that about 20 countries new to this game with this war have now pledged all kinds of security assistance for Ukraine, including new anti-ship missiles, additional attack helicopters, tanks, maybe even some jets, finally. 47 nations have now joined the Ukraine Defense Contract Group. That's what they're called, Contact Group, which was organized by the Pentagon to help address Kyiv's immediate long-term needs as it seeks to beat back the Russian military protracted invasion. Our Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, who I'm not, that high on, singled out Denmark for providing Ukraine with harpoon launchers and missiles to help defend the coast. Denmark rarely gets involved in anything, just like Finland and Sweden. They're stepping forward. The Czech Republic, they're sending in helicopters, tanks, rocket systems. Other participating nations, he said, have donated tons of artillery rounds, armored vehicles. They've agreed to provide the Ukrainians with training and assistance to maintain its military systems. Just out of the blue, 20 new nations have stepped forward and said, we're in, bringing the total to 47 now. This group is scheduled to meet on June the 15th on the sidelines of a NATO meeting of the NATO defense ministers. In the last several months, the U.S. has sharply increased its presence in Europe, expanding, 78,000 troops in the fall to 102,000 now. And that's according to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Miley, alongside of Austin. There are 15,000 U.S. sailors positioned in the Mediterranean and the Baltic. on 24 combatant vessels, including four submarines. And this is a gigantic uptick from the six combatants that were there in the fall. There are 12 fighter squadrons, two combat aviation brigades in the region as well. So if push comes to shove, it sounds like we're going to shove really, really hard. President Biden ordered the removal, though, of U.S. troops from Ukraine before the Russian invasion in February. Yeah, that was interesting. It was like he knew something. He said repeatedly that the United States would not directly participate in the war, though U.S. combat troops continued to train Ukrainian forces elsewhere in Europe in secret locations. Miley added that a report published Sunday by the Wall Street Journal indicated that the Pentagon was drafting plans to provide special forces to help defend the U.S. embassy in Kyiv. I told you that. We're putting boots on the ground to defend the embassy, which has recently reopened. The proposal, he said, was still at a relatively low level in the Defense Department, and it's not been yet briefed to senior officials. Quote, at the end of the day, a reintroduction of U.S. forces to Ukraine would require a presidential decision, so we're a ways away from anything like that, Miley said, but I do believe it will happen. So though the Russians are beginning to tune it up very, very heavily, 20 new nations have stepped forward, bringing the total of 47 nations that are now, you know, fighting this war with Ukraine, for Ukraine, doing the best they can, just, you know, aside from sending in their own troops to make sure these individuals can defend themselves. And that hit they took yesterday, 87 lost, the biggest of the war since it started. Think about that, though. The Ukrainians lost 87 soldiers yesterday. Unfortunately, sad, not good. Bringing the total to maybe 4,000 or 5,000 that have been lost. Still, as confirmed by that leak out of the Kremlin and observers from the UN and observers from NATO, the Russians have lost 27,900 soldiers. I mean, that to me sounds impossible. But again, that leak from the Kremlin the week before last indicated it seems to be very legit. And I still think this is the one thing that's going to bring Putin down. When that gets out in his country and these parents finally get it, that their boys are not coming home, 27,900. What the hell do you think they're going to do? I think they're going to, you know, pull a Mussolini and shoot Hitler, shoot Putin in the head and hang him up by his toes, as they did to Mussolini. And we'll get some up close and personal stuff from Ukraine, like I said, tomorrow with Ted Kutcher, who used to be the music director of the Philharmonic. And then we'll talk to Serge from Kyiv, where there's a lot of action on Thursday. So we're lucky to be able to make these connections over there. It's a very tricky way that we do this, because you hear these interviews coming from over there, and it sounds like the individual sitting right next to me, right next to me. And our engineer has figured out kind of a creative way to use the internet to bring these people to us in a very simple way. But it sounds like, I mean, it sounds like they're here in the studio, but they're, you know, they're in a freaking war zone, for crying out loud. I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about later with the NATO expansion. There's a number of countries jumping into NATO, as you know, even beyond Sweden and Finland. And I want to give you more details on the plans to send troops to protect the embassy in Kyiv. How many troops? How would that be done? How is that, you know, not an act of war? Okay, you know, I'm sure once we do this, Putin will say it's an act of war, even though technically it's not by all words of the Geneva Convention. You know, when you're sending troops into a war zone to protect the embassy, that, you know, according to their rules and regs, that's not an act of war. But we'll see. Anyway, coming in shortly, we have Tom McClintock joining us again, running for Congress in a new district. You know Tom very well. He's doing a lot of campaigning in this area, because now, for, you know, one of the first times, I think, in his career, this area is included in his new district. And then at noon today, Tom Del Picaro, another Tom, is going to be talking about water. He's in a mood, and some of these restrictions by our wonderful governor. And then maybe more of the same with Steve Hilton from Fox News coming up at 1 o'clock today. We may talk about water with him. And then we may just kind of do a free-form thing, too, with Steve and talk about what we need to talk about, whatever that may be, and invite you in on the phones, all right? So, big week, lots to do today.
This is the Ray Appleton Show on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, and KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page at KMJNow.com.
Well, you just heard, via the magic of recording, the voice of Tom McClintock. Now, in the flesh, here he is in the KMJ studios again, you know, on the campaign trail, passing through Fresno one more time. How you been since last week or whenever it was?
Pretty busy, to be honest with you, but it's boredom's not been a problem.
I mean, you're jumping all over the state. How big is this district that you're in now?
It's eight counties. I currently represent seven of them. Stanislaus is the new county for this district, so been spending quite a bit of time there. And we also picked up, I've had, you know, Fresno County, the mountains, for the last 10 years, but we now pick up a part of the suburbs on the north side.
And is there anything about, you know, the addition to this district that's caught your attention? Anything, you know, in the way of geography or people or just anything that's new to you?
Well, they're pretty much the same issues. I lose Placer County from my old district and pick up Stanislaus County and keep all the mountain counties. So those issues haven't changed. And the questions between Roseville and Stanislaus are largely the same. These are both large suburban communities. Roseville outside of Sacramento, and you know, Stanislaus, of course, is Modesto.
All right. I want to talk about one of your opponents, local guy, Nathan Magzik. Do you know anything about him?
A little bit.
Yeah. Good guy. A lot of people like him. He did a lot during the fires up in the Southern Sierra. A lot of people gave him points for that. Of the people that are running against you, do you see any that stand out more than another that might give you a little bit of trouble? Probably the last thing you want to talk about, but I'm curious.
Well, we've polled on that, and it's pretty clear this is going to be a Republican versus Democrat race in the fall, and I'll be taking on Mike Barkley.
So that's pretty much known, huh?
You got, well,
in terms
clear
of the numbers?
Yeah,
all right.
Either that, or I'm going to have to fire my pollster.
Well, sometimes they're not right, you know.
Well, this guy has been spot on, and in the last election he had it down to the last percentage point, so...
Last time you were on, I got a couple of emails from people wanting to know basically the same thing. I'm not quite sure why, but were you a Donald Trump supporter?
Yes. Well, in the primaries, no. I supported Scott Walker
right
originally. Then I supported Ted Cruz. And I've told people ever since Donald Trump got the nomination, wasn't my first choice, wasn't my second choice, but I can sure as hell tell the difference between a fire and a fireman. And if a fireman's trying to save my home from burning down, I really don't care if from time to time he acts like a bit of a jerk. So I supported Trump in the general election vigorously. I've supported him on the House Judiciary Committee through the two farcical impeachments the Democrats launched against him. I supported the policies that produced the largest economic expansion in our lifetimes, the biggest regulatory rollback in the history of the country that produced that economic expansion. The energy policies, I accompanied President Trump to the border during his administration. He secured our borders. We had 1% inflation when he left office.
Mm.
Gasoline was running just a little over $2 a gallon nationally. The policies that he produced in his administration were the most successful that I've seen in my lifetime, and that includes the Reagan administration. So I'm a big supporter of the policies, and certainly would have no problems supporting him vigorously in the general election, as I did 4 years ago.
So that's what I'm going to ask you again. If he ran again, would you support him?
If he gets the nomination, I will be behind him 110%.
Do you want him to run again?
You know, I think we have all of that's going to sort out, but I think there are people like you know, Governor Ron DeSantis, Vice President Mike Pence, who are also.
I think DeSantis would be great.
They stand for the same policies, but they're not quite as abrasive. You know, the thing about Donald Trump And I think that what ultimately cost him the election was something that Oliver Wendell Holmes once said. He said, you know, think about Trump as you listen to these words. He says, when you argue with your emotions, you will never fail to delight your supporters, infuriate your adversaries, and alienate that vast middle group you need to persuade. And I think that was Donald Trump's downfall. But the policies that he advocated worked, and we've got to get them back. And if Donald Trump is the guy to get them back, I'm all for him.
He's an interesting person. I got to know him about 17, 18 years ago. I guess it's been that long. He tried to buy some property in the west part of Fresno for a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't pan out, but I wasn't paid anything, but he asked me to do some things for him to help him politically and this, that, and the other thing to get a couple things done, and I did that, and it impressed him. So we, you know, have been acquainted since then.
Mm-hmm. And he's a nice guy personally. I mean,
that's
nothing,
it.
Nothing like the persona.
You got it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had a number of occasions to sit down with him and Devin Nunes, and where we both said to him, where's this guy on the campaign trail?
Yeah, yeah.
Why
exactly.
Are you playing the TV guy from your show? You know, I found him to be the most incredible, and I've told the audience this 1,000 times, the most amazing listener.
You know, he invited me and a few other House members to screen the Churchill film Darkest Hour. You remember that a few years ago with Gary Oldman? And it was in the private White House screening room.
Right, right.
And there were probably about a dozen of us total. And after the film ends, he stands up and he says, by the way, have all of you seen the upstairs of the White House? No. Well, come on. And for the next hour, he leads a tour of the second floor of the White House.
Which nobody sees.
Exactly.
Nobody.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting the most unique tour in all of America. And the tour guide is the president of the United States. He is very down to earth. That kind of every experience I had with him was like that. He is a decent, warm, nice person. Why he comes across so bombastic on the public stage, I don't understand. But I've said all along during the last campaign, if he would just learn to channel a little of his inner Ronald Reagan, he would win in a landslide. I still believe that.
I'm totally with you on that. He's just he's a good guy privately, a really good guy. The one time I was at the White House invitation, kind of a breakfast thing, I met his wife for the first time. The subject was all morning was how he and I both needed a haircut. She just would not get off of that. It's just kind of the human side was kind of fun to watch. We got some phone calls for you. Mike, you're on KMJ with Tom McClintock. What's going on? Hi.
Hey, thank you. I first of all, I wanted to thank Tom McClintock. I followed him for years. I voted him for governor, and I thank him for being a true conservative. Okay, having said that, I have a question. I thought I heard a number of years ago you got out of the Tea Party. I'm curious if you did and why.
Stop. Did I got out of the Tea Party?
That's what he asked.
No. I never left the Tea Party.
Oh, okay. So, Mike, other question is going to be, do you believe, because I'm concerned right now, I agree everything about Trump, but I'm not sure whether he's going to ultimately harm the Republican Party like what he's doing in Georgia, and whether it's about him or the ultimate conservatives. I'm just wondering, what do you feel about like what's going on?
Well, I share that concern as well, and I've not talked to a single Trump supporter in all of my conversations who hasn't said, I love the guy, but I wish he'd just tone it down a bit. And that is my concern as well. I've often said that I'm a lifelong Republican. I was a vigorous Trump supporter in the general election, and I will be again if he gets the nomination. But my loyalty to the Republican Party and to my loyalty is not to the Republican Party or to candidates. My loyalty is to the principles of the American founding. My loyalty to the Republican Party and its candidates extends only so far as they are loyal to those constitutional principles. And I think that should guide all of us. That's what preserves our Constitution from generation to generation.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Congressman Tom McClintock. Another Tom is going to be joining us at 12 noon. That's Thomas Del Picaro.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
Great guy.
He is on fire with anger today about Newsom and water. Mm-hmm. You know, always. Who isn't every day of the week in this area? Yeah. And then at 1 o'clock today, Steve Hilton, our buddy from Fox News, will be joining us as every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. We got a lineup today, a big one. Questions for the congressman, 490-5858, toll-free from anywhere, 800-776-5858, throughout California, a huge signal, as you know, if you're listening online throughout the country. I like it when we get calls from Texas and Ohio. And that's fun. He's here. Talk to him. We'll be right back on KMJ.
This is the Ray Appleton Show.
Get Ray Appleton.
KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page.
All right. Let me tell you, we've got some phone calls for Tom McClintock. You got to get to your point real fast because I got to get him down the road to have lunch with a bunch of Republican ladies here in a few minutes. So get right to your point. Johnny, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Hi there. Hey, I was 15% of the population works for government. And I've got many friends there, and they all got their mouth taped shut. So, Mr. McClintock, are you there?
Yeah, right here. Go ahead.
Okay. Would you consider that, you know, voting is kind of a mirage until we empty the House and it start over, like, with every election so that, you know, that we can be adjustable instead of keep growing this parasitic entity?
Well, I'm not quite sure where you're going with that, but I the nature of government is to grow. That is just human nature, and it will grow and grow and grow. And that's why we have a constitution to try to hem in that growth. We've breached a lot of the constitutional containment features that the founders installed, and we're seeing the growth of government. You know, the worst part about it is the administrative branch, the executive branch, acquiring both legislative, that is rulemaking or lawmaking authority, which is supposed to be solely for the Congress, and judicial authority, which is supposed to be solely to the judiciary. All three of those functions, legislative, executive, and judiciary, have been recombined into these administrative agencies. And as Madison warned, when you combine all of those powers in the same hands, you have the very foundation for tyranny. We've got to start separating out those powers again.
Becky, go ahead. You're next.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm in Merced County, and you're not on my ballot.
That's correct.
We always vote for you.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. No, Merced's not in this district. I think it is, not part of the new 5th district.
And I take it you're going to miss him. John, you're on KMJ. Go right ahead.
Mr. McGaugh, I just want to thank you, because every time we've had our associations, you've been there to speak. You never asked for a dime. And we need someone like you in the White House. That's where you belong.
Well, I'm afraid I've got my hands full in the House of Representatives, but that's very kind of you to say.
That's where I was leading up with the questions about Trump and running for president and all that. The couple of the people had asked about if he supported Trump. We're also asking if he would ever consider running for president in the future.
No. You recall I ran for governor back in 2003.
Yeah, and you should have won.
Well, I still have a box of T-shirts.
That's what you got out of it.
Yeah. Huh?
Those were interesting times, weren't they?
They were interesting times.
You know, the particular governor that we have right now, the guy is such an amazing loser. What's your opinion? I know you're not. You don't favor him, but what do you think of Newsom and the job that he's doing?
Well, I think a more important question is what do Californians think of him? And we know that because they're leaving in droves.
Yeah.
You know, I've said for many years now, California Republicans are still winning the vote. The problem is people are now voting with their feet and leaving. I think it was, a net domestic out-migration of roughly a quarter million in the last year, according to the Census Bureau, and they're going out to places like the middle of the Nevada and Arizona deserts. Those are two of the most popular places for California expatriates to go. And I've often reflected on the fact that I can't think of a conceivable act of God that could do so much damage to California as to make it a less attractive place to live than the middle of the Nevada and Arizona deserts.
That's a good point.
Acts of government can do that much damage, and they have, and people are leaving.
You know, what bothers me the most about the guy is, he wants to be president, and he's always talking about how, you know, California goes, he wants the United States to go. I can't imagine a bigger disaster for this country if it followed in the footsteps of California.
What's happened in California is not unique. It is the same thing that happens wherever the radical left takes complete control of a jurisdiction. We've seen them start by ruining cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Detroit, Chicago, New York. We've seen them now ruining some of our greatest states, California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey. Think about this. Wherever they take control for more than a decade or so, you have exactly the same social and economic and political pathologies. You have rampant homelessness. You have sky-high taxes, expanding crime, shortages of basic things like energy, skyrocketing utility bills, failing schools, and ultimately failing businesses, and then fleeing families. That's true wherever the left takes control. For the life of me, I can't understand why people choose to live like that.
Yeah.
And it is a choice. None of this, as I said, are acts of God. These are all acts of government that we can change whenever we summon the political will to do so. But I'm afraid that in a state like California, there comes a point when things get bad enough, it's just a lot easier to move to another state, and that's what people are doing.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because the people that are leaving are the people that, you know, that do the employing. They take they're the wrong people to leave. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these are the people that have businesses, and it drives me crazy. Anyway. Out of time. Good to see you again.
Great to see you, Ray. Thanks.
You know, and any final words before I cut you loose? I'm sure I'll probably see you again before the election, but...
Well, I mean, what we're just talking about. We don't need to live like this. You know, we can... These are specific policies put into place by the people that we've elected. You know, when people ask me, how could this be happening to our country? The answer is pretty simple. If you voted for the Democrats in the last election, this is exactly what you voted for. And if you're surprised by that... You just weren't paying much attention. Yeah. And if you want to know how long it's going to go on, it's going to continue until the people responsible for these policies are removed from office. That's our job as citizens.
Yeah, in this state, it's the tyranny of the majority, I tell you. Scary in Sacramento. Thank you for the time. Good luck to you, and we'll catch you down the road.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
Tom McClintock on KMJ. Tom Delvocaro coming up in a few.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.